Blog Talk Radio.
You have just tuned in to an episode of Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir, Sherry Pang, and Maria Wilson Duff. Stay tuned as we enter into the world of the paranormal, a world of ghosts, UFOs, and generally anything unexplained. The show is about to begin.
Marsha. Drama.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Paranormal Horizons. I am Jason Ophir, joined with Maria Wilson Duff, and we're going to talk a little bit about paranormal drama. Maria, how's your week?
It's been pretty good. The paradrama just kind of piles up and it just spews out, doesn't it?
It sure does. It's absolutely ridiculous. And if anybody's in the paranormal field, they are well aware of the epidemic, the pandemic of paranormal drama. And I've seen it all.
Yeah. I like the way you worded that.
I got stories, let me tell you. But before we dig into it, how's your week been? What's been going on?
Oh, man, it's the same thing every day. It's go to work, come home, go to bed, get up, go to work. One of these days it's going to get exciting. I can just feel it.
Yeah, I can totally relate to that. I'm in the exact same boat. It's very monotonous, and everything that's going on, I'm not going to mention the C word. It's just making everything that much more I don't even know the word. It just sucks. Boring. I guess boring is a good word.
It is, and the area that I live in is close to Tennessee state line. So Tennessee has kind of opened up a little bit more than what the rest of it has, or what Kentucky has. So everybody that's like two counties up from Tennessee line is like migrating south. So, you know, with restaurants have opened up and things like that, and they're not even talking about opening up our restaurants till Memorial Day.
Well, in Oregon, we're not much ahead of you. Unfortunately, counties are opening up for this phase one thing, but I don't live in those counties, so nothing is changing for me, and I don't suspect it'll change anytime soon. And as you know, my big thing, the way this whole situation has affected me, is I can't hit those slot machines. It's really difficult to not.
Man, you must be sitting on a pile of money.
Oh, let me tell you, it's just growing and it's brewing, it's wedding. And when this thing opens up, it's going to be a floodgate of 20s and hours. I'll probably get blood clots in my legs from hitting that button or get some carpal tunnel from pressing the slot machine button. I can't wait. But it's going to be miserable until it happens.
Yes, but just. It gives you something to look forward to. There is light at the end of the tunnel. It's just that whenever they start talking about the second wave, we've got to just shut them down. Hell no, we ain't going to go. We're not going home. Leave us alone.
Have you ever played slot machines? Do you have any idea how addictive it is? It's like crack.
Yes, I have.
It's crack cocaine of gambling.
Yes, it is. It really is, especially when they come by and they bring you these little drinks and you don't have to get up, you don't have to do anything.
But have you ever won at it, like won a decent amount of money?
Because I've removed myself from my seat and I've made myself leave.
See, you're smart. I'm one of these people that can't leave. It's like it's not about the winning or the losing. I don't care. It's about maximizing my time in front of that addictive screen. Like, I'm the worst type of addict.
Well, see, they're designed for that. They're just designed to do that. And they know what they're doing. But, yeah, my brother lived in Vegas for about a year and a half, and he kept trying to get me to come out. And I'm like, look, no. You would find me dead in a gutter somewhere because I owed Uncle Guido $1 million for all the gambling that I did. So, not,
yeah.
Not doing it.
I couldn't do it. Yeah, yeah. No, if I lived in a place like that, that would be dangerous.
Yeah, because I wanted to leave the slots and I wanted to go to the blackjack table. And
you know,
I knew better.
I've never been into card games. It's all about those bells and whistles on those video lottery terminals that you get into the bonus rounds. It's amazing. I can't wait. I'll let you know. I'll have a gambling update for you probably in a few weeks to let you know how my when things open up, how well I've done.
I'm kind of thinking you're going to send me a text message and go, you need to do the show by yourself because I'm still sitting here.
That is entirely possible. You know, once I'm in the zone, I'm in the zone. Uh-huh. Nothing, you know. Somebody could walk in and rob the bar, and I would glance at them, grin, and not get off the machine. Like, they could be conducting a homicide investigation in the place, and I'm like, I ain't leaving. Like, I'm not, you know, somebody could be murdered next to me, and I'd be like, oh, well, that sucks. Poor guy. And then, you know, get back on. That's how I am.
But yet, you wouldn't let that lady in your car. All she wanted was a ride, Jason.
Well, she was... That would have ended bad. I don't know if people were listening, but what was that, a couple of weeks ago, some filling up the gas tank, some lady tried to get in my car twice. She was catatonic. She was not responsive. And it was the strangest thing ever. Like, if you saw me in real life, I would be looking like the person, that you would think that somebody would want to get in their car. Like, I'm huge.
He looks like
and
a
I have a shaved
serial
head.
Killer.
Yeah, I cross between a serial killer, an outlaw biker, and I don't know what else. A big, bald, Anton LaVey-looking dude. Why would you want to get into my car?
But if you'd
been
playing slots, you'd let her get in your car, and you'd have been going, eh, I got the keys. She wouldn't have done nothing.
I don't know. People are so crazy these days. Already been stabbed in the throat with an eyeliner thing or something. Anyway.
Oh, God love you. God love you.
Yeah, yeah. What can you do? It's a crazy world, and it's just going to get crazier.
So what paradrama story has crawled up your orifice and got you riled up?
Well, nothing recently, thankfully, and there's a reason for that, and that is because I have been in major, 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 major paradrama in the past, and I thought I would. Now, have you ever been involved in paranormal drama? I'm sure you have.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, so you know how ridiculous it is. So nothing currently, but in the past, I was associated with somebody that just... It was a different... We were actually doing a different blog talk show. And he was just creating all this drama and stuff like that. And lawsuits and people were calling the cops and stuff. And I was like, okay, I just can't involve myself in this. I have the type of mind where I just don't want to be involved. And I worry excessively about things. And I didn't want to worry about unnecessary nonsense. And that's how Paranormal Horizons came into existence. I left that show to extricate myself from the drama and then created Paranormal Horizons so that I didn't have
Excellent.
To deal with it. But people in this field, and yeah, I know, and I imagine, I mean, it's any field, but it seems to be really prevalent in the paranormal field because there are so many people that want fame, they want notoriety. There's people that realize that they can't get fame, so they want to be infamous, so they go that route. People you know, fabricating and fakery and just about everything. Infighting, lawsuits, threats. It's rampant out there. And quite frankly, I don't think that that's changed in the several years since I've kind of been out of that. But it's ridiculous.
It does get ridiculous. And then you've got the ones that they think that they are the best. Everything they do is right. Nothing they do is wrong. And then they badmouth everybody else that's in the paranormal field. Well, but, you know, their evidence isn't real. It's fake. And my stuff's better than everybody else's. That's something I don't understand. I mean, we all have the same freaking equipment, basically. I mean, there's you can pour hundreds of dollars into equipment. And that digital recorder and that full spectrum camera or that IR camera that you've got is really basically the only stuff you've got that you can capture evidence with. And somebody can take a picture and post it or share it, and then everybody's, oh, no, that's fake. That, and I'm like, I don't get it, man. It's people just tear each other apart, and it's ridiculous.
And you're talking about a field where there's really no conclusive proof. I mean, honestly, it's a lot of speculation and theory. And yet people masquerade themselves as experts in the field, and they've come up with their own conclusion.
Oh, God, that word.
Expert. I'm a paranormal expert.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. One of my friends shared a Facebook post of this man that calls himself a paranormal expert, and the SOB charges for paranormal investigating. If you need him, he's going to charge you money. Who are you? What do you think you are? And am I going to pay somebody to come and investigate my house? Hell no.
Hey, I've been in the paranormal officially since 2008. That makes me an expert, right?
Oh, God. Don't make me come to Oregon and smack you. I am not afraid of that bald head.
So, yeah, people charging, that's another thing. But I will say that people that do get caught charging, other groups chastise them heavily. They get so much flack. I've seen some people reposting, you know, ads or whatever for a group to go out that charges, and they have websites, and they just get blasted by other groups. It's really entertaining.
Well, yeah, and the sad part is that the general public doesn't understand that this service is supposed to be free. Period. You should not have to pay anybody to come in to cleanse your home or to do an investigation or anything. I mean, seriously, come on. Now, if you wanted to offer to pay gas or whatever, fine. I wouldn't take it. I would, you know, I just wouldn't. I mean, I've even had people to offer to feed my fix supper for me to eat, and I can't accept that. Just it's a form of payment, and they're just being generous. But I don't feel right. I just don't feel right. I'm there to help you. I don't, you know. Anyways, I'll just shut up. Go on.
I've heard all sides of it. I've heard people say that you should charge because you're providing a service. Like me, on the other hand, when I was into paranormal investigations, we didn't charge anything. I mean, it was a fun thing for us. And, you know, but I guess there's people that charge hundreds, if not thousands of dollars, and people probably take them up on it because it could be the first website that somebody that's having paranormal problem comes across and may not know better. I'm like, oh, here's a group. Oh, they're charging, you know, $300 to cleanse my home or whatever. And it's unfortunate, but it's a really kind of crappy world we live in where people are all about ego and greed and money and all that and all the drama.
It is, and I hate it, especially when there's people that desperately need help and they're scared to death, and then they run across a group. And, you know, you pay them $300, well, what are you going to get? You better, they better keep coming back. I mean, if they don't, if anytime you need help, they better keep coming back until, you know, it just, I don't know. I would love to see what a contract of somebody that charges to do a paranormal investigation, what it looks like. Because I've heard of them, they'll go in to go do an investigation and something happens and it flips them out so bad, they run out screaming and they never come back. Well, then, and then they don't refund the money. So to me, that's a scam.
And that's because you never know who you're getting. I know of groups that have had pedophiles, felons. I mean, unless you do background checks on these people, you don't know who you're letting into your home. I also know of cases where things have been stolen by paranormal investigators, allegedly. And
right.
Yeah, you just don't
and
know what
you're
getting.
And that always makes me paranoid. Getting. You know, I want the homeowner to be with me in any room that I move throughout the house. Simply because, and then there's been several times I've been told, no, you can go on in there by yourself. No, you're going to come with me because you're going to make sure your mind's going to be at ease that going through your stuff. You know, if you've got something left out, and then that's something that not only are you trying to make sure that the person you're taking care of is protected, you need to protect yourself as well, because you could go into a room by yourself and then you be accused of stealing some huge amount of money or jewelry or anything like that. And then that can really damage your reputation.
Yeah, there's all sorts of tremendous liability. In fact, I was thinking back when you were talking about that to the paranormal investigations I've done. I don't remember a homeowner being in the house any time I ever did someone's house. And, of course, at the time in 2008 when I started that whole thing, wasn't really thinking about it. But now I'm smarter, I'm older and wiser and better looking. And so I think about those things and liability and, you know, if you get hurt – if you damage something, groups, if you're going into somebody's house, should have some sort of bonding and insurance or contract, something to save themselves. And because that could be, cause a lot of drama, whatever happens if something goes sideways.
Oh, yeah, it really can. And especially when you go somewhere to investigate, they don't know you and you don't know them. You know, you've got strangers inviting strangers into their home, and you don't know how crazy that person could possibly be until you get there and meet them face to face, and, you know, you might have a major lunatic that you're dealing with, and that can cause you all kinds of problems. You know, the police can be called, things like that. So, yeah, contract, insurance, bonding and stuff like that, yeah. But to charge somebody for coming in, no, that is a huge pet peeve of mine.
How normal is Ted Bundy and John Wayne Gacy? You've got to be careful out there, folks. It might be one in 1,000, but you might just have an investigator that comes in that is going to be a John Wayne Gacy and creepy and do creepy things. You just don't know. And I'm trying to think, well, if we're sitting here suggesting that people could be crazy, creating drama or committing a crime, I think, how would you avoid that? And I guess there really is no way, because even if you do a criminal investigation on somebody before you let them into your house, that doesn't mean that they could be committing crimes. They just haven't been caught. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, definitely. Look at Jeffrey Dahmer, you know. It takes a while. You don't ever want to be a victim, that's for sure. But
no, not at all.
I spend a lot of time on the phone with anybody that wanted my help. I talked to them a lot before I ever stepped foot in their house. And, you know, you can kind of gauge what situation that you're going to walk into. Not always. But, you know, I've walked in. I've talked to a girl on the phone several times, and the discussions that we had, drew the conclusion that they didn't have much money. They didn't, you know, they were barely making it, and they had to have government help with that. Did not have a clue that I was walking into a meth lab until I got there.
You walked into a meth lab? What?
That was for real? That was a meth lab. For real.
Oh. Did you get free meth out of it?
That's not a contact high that you ever want to get.
I've heard it's quite toxic.
Yeah. It was kind of a quick look around and going, you know, we sat and we talked to them for a while, and there's some things going on here. There was some paranormal activity that did happen that was not hallucinated by any means. We got out of there pretty quick.
That's because they're smoking meth and inadvertently, unconsciously inviting demons into their house. We've heard that before, how drug use, you know.
Yeah, that happened. I don't know, man. It's a scary field. I don't think people really realize how not only spiritually dangerous some of these investigations can be if you're not prepared, but physically dangerous for you. And you really got to step back and really check it all out before you commit.
Absolutely. There's a lot of weirdos out there in the world. Of course, everybody should already know that, because if you're of any age, you would have probably likely come across criminals, stalkers. So, yeah. But I do agree, you know, it is kind of a gut thing, and you should spend time with somebody and developing some rapport and go with what your gut says. I mean, that's not going to be 100%, but our guts and our intuitions have saved us from a lot of problems, potentially.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And when you ignore that, you always pay the price.
Absolutely. So, yeah, drama. So one of the things I had a fairly large Facebook page, one of my original Facebook pages, where I had all these paranormal investigators and paranormal stuff, and that's kind of how I kept up on the paranormal drama. I axed that account because I was like, you know, it's not that I didn't like drama, it's because I loved it. Does that make sense? I found myself totally into it, and I just couldn't focus on other things because I'm checking in every day saying, oh, I wonder what these comments say, or these comments, you know, how's this fight going? And so I was like, you know what, I've got to get myself out of this a bit. And so I have not been in touch with the drama as of late, but I thought it would be a good subject, and we don't have to talk the whole show on it. We can just talk about whatever we want, but I wanted to touch on it because it was at the time when I saw on my Facebook, and I think Facebook is one of the greatest mediums for drama, so I wanted to touch on that a little bit.
Facebook drama, yeah. Soap operas are better than that.
Yeah, telenovelas. Facebook is like paranormal drama. It's like a telenovela. If you don't know what that is, Google it.
You got telenovela.
So watch a telenovela. Do you know what that is?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's what it's like.
you ain't right.
I know.
But, yeah. Mental. No, I think it's in, let's see, I started investigating, I think, 2011. And just the drama that I have personally been involved with or witnessed to on the same team, two different people, and I was like, man, this ain't even worth it. I just, there doesn't need to be a team. There just needs to be, I just need to do this, me and one other person, and just be done with it. Because, I mean, when you see somebody that's kind of tried to build their name up pretty good, you know, and you get a good thing going on, and then they start lying about stuff or start stretching the truth, or they start faking evidence and things like that, and it's really sad. It's like for some reason they think that they're not relevant in the field, so they have to start faking stuff. And, you know, it's like, man, it's time for me to go.
I got kicked out of my own
group. A bad name.
How does that happen?
Well,
how do you get kicked out of the group that you created?
Yeah, exactly. Anarchy.
I created a paranormal group. I supplied all the equipment. I did the majority of the investigations. The other co-founder didn't come to most of them, and then I ended up getting kicked out of my own group. Alliances were formed. Yeah. Talk about being pissed off. I'm over it now, so if they're listening, hey, I'm over it. You know, whatever. It's cool. Things have worked out, and we've all gone our own paths, and I wish you all the best luck. Hey, you can even give me a call and say hey, because I'm totally over it, but it was just stupid drama.
It really is, and it's that ego thing. It's ego, and it's dumb. I mean, it's just stupid. But there ain't anything you can do about it. But just walk away from it.
Is it that just all humans like drama? Like, it's entertaining. Like, I was watching some crime television yesterday, and it was in regards to the Jenny Jones show. And remember back in, I don't know if it was the 90s, that murder that happened with the guest on Jenny Jones? Basically what it was is there's two girls and a dude, they're on Jenny Jones, and the show is based on, you know, somebody is going to reveal that they have a crush on the other person. Well, it was a guy, and it was that this other guy revealed that he had a crush on this other guy, and then the one guy murdered that guy, and it was a big huge thing. And they were kind of faulting the show because it just is intentionally exposing people and creating drama. And I don't see that the paranormal is that much different.
No, you're right. And how Jerry Springer stayed on the air as long as it did, I have no clue. But that was about as bad.
People love it and they feed it. I love the Jerry Springer show. It's great.
Oh, my God.
Go watch the episode I Married My Horse. I don't think it aired, but it is on YouTube.
No.
But people love drama.
I'm guilty of it too.
Yeah, I'm guilty of it too. I mean, sometimes it is fun to look at other people's train wrecks, and then you think to yourself, "Oh, well, my life's not that bad."
I guess,
and that's what I think it is.
when it comes to starting to, whenever it starts, I don't know. That's just affects people's lives just huge. I guess that's what it is. It's my life's not as bad as that one, so let's watch that one explode instead of mine. Don't understand that.
People love a good show. It's the ego.
They do. They must. I don't know. It's like if I see two people starting to argue, it's like I turn and leave the room because I don't even want to feel that energy coming off of that. Because that can get ugly quick.
Oh, and unfortunately, I don't think people are going to change. I don't think the paranormal field's going to change. It's always going to be that way. It's like an occupational hazard, don't you think?
It is, you know, and you can see that unfolding with to the Stars Academy, Song DeLong, Skinwalker Ranch, Robert Bigelow, MUFON, and if all of that's like tangled up into one, and it's like it always has been, but when you started peeling back the layers of that onion, man, that was a mess. And there was a lot of money involved, and then you've got this MUFON that's an organization that's a volunteer organization, except for the higher ups in the ranks, that, you know, those see some money. But, you know, and it's like you're talking about millions of dollars that was involved. And it was all a scam and a sham and whatever else you wanted to call it. And nobody got in trouble for it. There were a few people that walked away from MUFON. Big deal. The government was involved. And then people want to raise a fit about government being involved in MUFON. Well, it's always been involved in MUFON. You've got ex-military all over the place in MUFON. Their view is, what better way to have, I mean, you've got somebody that was in the military, they know how the military works, they're here in MUFON because they've had those experiences of something that they don't quite understand, and the government's hiding it. But maybe not. Maybe you've got several moles. I don't know. I don't trust anybody. I think that's what my big problem is.
I don't trust anybody either, and I just thought of something, a documentary I watched the other day when you were talking about the government being involved with MUFON, and I don't remember the names, and I don't remember the name of documentary. I watched it last week, but it was fascinating. If people are out there that think that the government does not involve themselves in the UFO field, they are horribly, horribly wrong. They're probably listening to this show and every other show on UFOs and the paranormal in some capacity. But this documentary was, I think this all went down in the 80s, and it was, this guy was living near an Air Force base. He was a retired pilot, and he was like really good with electronics, and he tuned in to some Air Force frequency, and then he started to see all these weird lights above the Air Force base. So he's like videotaping them and listening to these weird frequencies and stuff like that. Well, he actually, if I remember correctly, went to the Air Force and was like, hey, I'm seeing all this weird flying stuff, blah, blah, blah. So the Air Force sent intelligence agents to him and to interview him, and got heavily involved with this guy. And then the NSA rented like an adjacent house to this guy and was beaming signals to him. And the Air Force would take this guy around, flying him, showing where UFOs had crashed. Like, they were feeding him with disinformation. The NSA was feeding him with disinformation, like beaming signals to his house and all that. And it's just crazy. And this went on for years. Well, the guy, because the Air Force was giving them all sorts of fake information to try and throw him off of what they were really doing there, they were spreading his brain with UFOs and aliens, and the NSA was. He, like, went totally batshit crazy over years of this. And it was, God, I wish I could remember the name of it, but it was really interesting the lengths at which the Air Force and Air Force Intelligence and the National Security Agency got involved with this guy because he was videotaping lights over the Air Force base. And they got him thinking like that aliens were on the base, and it was just outrageous. It was really, really entertaining to watch. So yes, the government's everywhere, literally.
Yeah, you got that right. You know, and the last person in the world that I would call is some kind of government agency.
Yeah, I know.
To say,
why would you do
that? Yeah. There's UFOs on the top of my house.
It was fascinating. It was just fascinating for the amount of years that it went on, and the fact that the Air Force would take him in a helicopter to fly over the Air Force base and say, oh, see, that's where the UFO crashed, and, you know, you can't tell anybody, but we're going to let you in on these secrets. And then, I don't know.
Yeah.
But you never know how the government works. You know, they, in the documentary, the people that were with the Air Force were part of the documentary, and like, yeah, we did this, we did that. And it makes you wonder if the Air Force is saying that it was all lies, but maybe it wasn't all lies. Maybe they were telling them the truth. Maybe aliens really were there. The disinformation science is really, really interesting.
Well, yeah. And they fed all of that information. I mean, they do it all the time. You know, it's they come up and they tell you whatever it is that they want you to know, and you think because this government agency is telling you what's going on that it's actually the truth, and they're just feeding you full of baloney. You know, it's I can't, as much as these Tic Tac videos that have come out that the Navy's released or whatever, about why are they doing it? Why are they now, after all of these years of going, oh, these don't exist, it's a weather balloon or it's swamp gas or whatever, you know, why are you trying to put this stuff out here now? And I'm not buying into it. I just can't.
Because you don't know what to believe. And my understanding of disinformation, and it's a very limited understanding of disinformation, it's the way the government works. It's not like they come out and tell you 100% lies. There's always some truth in there. It's like a pie. One slice of the pie is truth, and the rest is bullshit. That's how
right.
I've understood. And of course, it creates drama. So you don't
right.
know what part of that is true. The UFO crash and they're, you know, eating with aliens at the White House, or are they eating with aliens at the White House and UFO crash? They fill it with so much filler and BS, you don't know which part's true or not.
Well, that's just like, have you ever watched the show Criminal Minds?
No.
What? What's wrong with you?
I don't...
Anyway.
I watch movies and documentaries.
Okay, and yeah, and slot machines. Okay, so this show is like they call the behavioral analysis unit of the FBI department, supposedly, and then they're after all these serial killers, and they will go, and even real life cops do this. If they're looking for somebody, a serial killer, they'll give you just this little tidbit of information, and they always hold back the other stuff. And then they'll put in a little bit of lie in that so that any copycats that try to get attention, they know that it's a copycat, not the real serial killer. And plus, there's a lot of people that will come in and confess to doing these murders, and it's, you know, and they'll give all the details that was given out on the news. So
yeah, why do people do that? I don't understand that. Why do people admit to crimes they didn't commit? Like, is it? I mean, it's got to be for attention.
three hots
and a cot.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
I mean, there was in a town that I grew up in. They had a murder that happened, and I lived in a pretty small little town. And this lady was in the city park. I think this is right. It was little. I was little when this happened, but I remember something. She was killed walking the trail at the city park, and they never did find who really killed her. But there was a man. He was a homeless guy. He came in and he took the blame for it. He confessed to it. So they didn't investigate any further. They just took his word for it. But, you know, and then they all kept talking about it later on. It was like he couldn't have done it. And they were trying to name off why he couldn't have done it. But, you know, he didn't have any money. He had a public defender. They didn't care. They had somebody to blame for her murder. And, you know, I mean, he got to spend his life. He didn't have to sleep out in the cold anymore. He didn't have to be hungry at night. He went to prison just so he could have a home.
I wonder if people do that, and then, like, 2 years down the road, they're like, hey, I shouldn't have done that. And then they, like, try and get out of prison, but they can't because they've been convicted of it and nobody will listen to them.
You know, I don't know, because, you know, there's got to be people that have confessed to murders when they know that their child or their parent did it or sibling or something like that, because they wanted to protect them and they just took the blame for it. I don't know. I don't understand that part of the human psyche.
People are whack. I don't get it.
Yeah,
I don't understand it. This world we live in is such a beautiful place, contaminated by humanity and its craziness. I'm such a pessimist. Sometimes I want, like, a meteor to hit the planet.
God. You're awful.
Hey, it would be a spectacular way. Actually, my number one way for things to end, alien invasion. I think that would be the epic way to end.
Okay. So, you know, maybe that's what the government, with them releasing all of these videos, and they're trying to push that agenda. Maybe instead of us getting hit by an asteroid and being destroyed, that they're going to make it look like we have an alien invasion, something like out of Independence Day or something.
Yeah, I'm totally down for that. Like, I'm ready. I got a couple weeks worth of food in my pantry. I'm ready for the invasion. Bring it on.
Well, you know, right where you live, the UFO is going to come right there and put that big, huge thing down and just, like, destroy it all.
Sucks. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not going to survive that if there's an Independence Day. I was thinking something a little bit more like with the tripods from War of the Worlds, you know. Something like that would be a little bit more my style.
Oh, I figured you were going to go for Mars Attacks or something.
Yeah, that's a little too cheeky. I wouldn't be able to take those aliens seriously. I'd probably just laugh.
Well, yeah, you would until they hit you with your ray gun and turned you into a thing of ash. So.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Well, I would like to believe that there's hope for humanity. Unfortunately, it's hard to gauge how much goodness in this world is when 80% of the stuff on the news is negative. We always hear about the bad things. We don't hear about the good things. And one of the things that helped me feel better about this world is, God, I love watching those rescue videos of, like, kittens and dogs and stuff. Even though I hate dogs, I can't stand dogs, some of those rescue videos, oh, they just melt your heart.
Oh, well, you would like to have seen his live PD. I record all those so that I can major drama stuff. I just, you know, I like the police chases and things like that. But they had, last night they rescued a dog out of a sewage line that was on the street. And I don't know how long he'd been there. because that stuff just breaks my heart. But I was thinking they were talking about a small dog. It was a golden retriever.
Oh.
And how it had gotten on there or down in there, I have no clue. But they got him out. They got him out pretty quickly once they found him, said he was there. So.
Yeah. This.
But yeah.
I mean, they're still good people, I guess. Not everybody's crazy and evil.
That's right. And that's why I don't watch the news. I don't read all that crap. Because there's every kind of little internet news, whatever you want to call it, news site, internet site, whatever, for that crappy news. And I just don't read it. I just don't. It's just stupid. I mean, it's bad enough we got all this crap going on, but when they started trying to bring in the murder hornets, that's when I was cracking up. Like, are they trying to add some comedy in with this pandemic that we've got going on? Well, you can't go outside because there's murder hornets, so you better stay in your house. Are you kidding me?
Our fear-based society never stops. We're beaten down to a pulp, you're exactly right, by the pandemic. And then it's like, oh, somebody in Washington State found a murder hornet, whatever those are. I can't remember the name of what they're called, but the EPs. It's like, it's not something,
Asian
it's something,
something
else. Yeah, giant Asian hornet, I think.
Right, it's like, come on, we've had enough with the other side of the world, okay? Don't be bringing, we've already had this deal with China. Don't be bringing something else over here. But I don't know. It was so funny. They would have to be absolutely huge because I've seen hornets, and they're big. I'd hate to see
they
what
are
this thing
huge.
Looks like.
They're like 2 inches long or longer. They've got giant orange heads. A really nasty sting. I think they're pretty aggressive as well. They're concerned about these murder hornets because they literally decapitate bees. And in their where the giant Asian hornet is from, bees, through their little evolutionary process, have learned a defense mechanism against these hornets, which is the bees will form a ball and flap their wings and create a higher temperature, which kills the hornet. But up here, the bees don't know how to do that, so they're afraid that these giant Asian hornets are just going to wipe out the bee population if they get a stranglehold because the bees don't know how to defend themselves. God, I'm so smart.
Yes, you are. I'm so proud of you.
I'm stroking my ego. I'm so smart.
That's why you have a show. Now I'm totally understanding it.
All I do is watch YouTube videos and like nature shows, so.
Well, that's okay. That's okay. Hey, if that's what keeps you happy and you mentally stable, honey, I am all for it.
It's not what keeps me happy, and it doesn't keep me mentally stable. What keeps me happy and mentally stable is sitting there in front of a dang slot machine, and I can't do that. My
well,
mental health is
deteriorating. Don't they have video games for that?
It's not the same. It is not the same.
Yeah, sure.
All the gamblers listening to this understand. I've tried the Facebook casinos, you know, this and that. Doesn't work. I'm too far gone, Maria. Save yourself.
Oh, Lord. Well, when I don't hear from you again, after the world opens back up again, I'll know what happened to you.
You know, I bought a second car thinking, this is my logic. I bought a second car thinking, okay, I can afford a second car. I can afford second insurance. You know, I'm doing pretty well, relatively. And so if I buy the second car and have double insurance, you know, it'll just be less for me to gamble. You know what I found out? I bought a second car, paid twice on insurance, and I was still gambling the same. It didn't affect anything. There's drama. So there's some drama in my life. Well, I tried.
You tried.
Yeah, you know. Maybe I'll get a third car.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll help. Or just eat more. Every time you feel like pulling dandelion slot machine, just
Uber eating like crazy. Do you know how expensive that? In fact, in like 10 minutes, I'm Uber eating. I'm going to pay $30 for a $10 meal because I can afford it. It's ridiculous.
So why are you not? Oh my gosh, what am I going to do with you?
I'm a mess.
Yeah, you are. Can you, like, you quit hiking, you don't camp anymore, you don't exercise, you beat old ladies out of your car that's trying just to get a ride. You're just...
Pretty much. Yeah. Oh, but I play a lot of video games.
Well, that must be nice. That must be nice.
Well, I've made a resolution that when this whole pandemic is over, I'm going to emerge from my lair and enjoy a little bit of the outdoors. But until that happens, I think I am going to remain reclusive. Mind you, I work in a hospital, and I'm on my feet 10 hours a day. So I feel like I've earned this level of laziness.
Sure, I totally understand that.
I've earned the Uber Eats at the end of the day.
Why don't you just pick it up on your way home? Alone?
I've taken laziness to a whole new level.
Apparently.
If I have to get out of bed for anything, it's an inconvenience. Just getting out of bed's an inconvenience. If I could get Uber Eats to bring my food down to me while I'm in bed, I would leave a pretty kick-ass tip.
So, do I need to ask if you've got a bedpan laying around there somewhere?
I don't want to talk about my personal hygiene habits on the air.
Lord, you're going to be that guy that's stuck chair and they're going to have to peel it off of you.
Oh, I've heard some horrifying stories of that. Oh, Lord, I've actually seen that. In real life, and I saw that about 4 months ago.
That's your future.
Some guy hadn't taken off his socks in 2 years, hadn't gotten out of a chair in 4, and his legs were pretty much rotting off. It's such a interesting smell, let me say.
That his name was
you
Jason
never gets out of your head. No, that's not me. I would never allow myself to get that bad.
Okay. I'm going to hold you to that.
Oh, and since I just realized that we're running out of time, I mean, we're totally into talking about my hygiene and gambling, that we're almost out of time.
And that
and
makes you happy, too.
Let's see here. So let me throw this by you. I've got my Uber Eats. I think I'm going to go Thai tonight, and I think I'm going to go with – I love spicy food. I'm going to get some Yum Wu Sen. I don't know what that is. Something with noodles, prawns, and chili. And I think I'm going to follow that up with an appetizer as well. Yeah. Oh, Well, I'm going to get an appetizer to make sure that I'm satisfied.
Mm-hmm. No leftovers, right? Got to eat it all.
No wonder I'm getting so fat. You got to eat it all. That's the American way. You got to finish everything that's on your plate.
No, actually, I think that's you throw half of it out, unless it's toilet paper. By God, you better keep that.
I'm down for leftovers.
Oh, that's good, because there's a lot of people that just won't eat leftovers at all.
Yeah, I don't really understand that either. I mean, some leftovers I don't eat, but if it's restaurant leftovers, then damn, I'm on it the next day for show.
I know you can't. I mean, Leftover French fries, nah. But those are
now those are gross.
Those will find their way to the garbage can quickly. But anything else that's leftovers, I'm eating it.
I've got to get on my Uber Eats application and choose my variety of sauces. So I guess we'll call it a night and hope everybody has a safe and fantastic week. And do you have anything else, Maria?
No, I'm still giggling at you.
I hope everybody out there enjoys our banter and finds a little humor in it, because we're pretty much both pretty ridiculous people. But that's what makes us unique and funny. At least I think I'm funny. I think you're funny. I hope everybody else thinks we're funny. Maybe we come across
we'll
as crazy.
We'll find out. Yeah,
oh, Lord.
Oh.
Yeah, you know they're listening.
Yeah.
Well, hope everybody has a safe and fantastic week. We'll see you next Sunday, 7 p.m. West Coast time, for another episode of Paranormal Horizons. I don't know what we'll be talking about, but we'll post it a couple days before the show and hope everybody is outstanding and stay away from the COVID, everyone. And with that, good night, everyone.
Good night.